This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jennifer McClellan is a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. She represents the 71st District in the capital city of Richmond here in the Commonwealth, and she joins us on the long line from her office in Richmond. Jen, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Coy. How are you?
Very, very good. Looking forward to Christmas. We still have a few more things to get. Are you ready and prepared?
I'm getting there.
still checking things off your list?
Yes, and I also have a birthday coming up.
You do?
I do.
I didn't know that. When is your birthday?
December 28th.
Wow. Now that's very exciting.
It is.
How was that for your family growing up? Would you still get a big birthday even though it was right after Christmas?
When I was a kid, yes, because everybody's home. But then when you go to college, all your friends are away. And now I'm getting to the age where people stay in town. So.
Yeah. Well, good. Now, are you going out of town to warmer climes this holiday season? Or are you going to hunker down at home?
I am for New Year's.
Good.
Take a little break before session.
Wonderful. And when does the session start again? It's January
9th.
Wow, that's soon.
Yes.
Goodness. And there's already been hundreds of bills that have been filed.
Yes.
Goodness. Well, January 9th, and this, of course, is a big budget year. Mm-hmm. And Governor Kane released his budget just yesterday, I believe, mm-hmm. With his suggestions for how we should spend our money over the next couple of years. And, of course, we were talking about this in some detail yesterday. He's got, on the same day, he made an announcement for trying to cover a deficit between now and next summer, and he also proposes a new budget, but that new budget doesn't start until summer of 08.
That's right, July 1st of 08.
Now, what was your thoughts on the on Governor Kane's budget?
I thought it was a pretty conservative budget, given the shortfall that we have, and while the economy continues to grow, it's not growing as fast as we thought. So it's a modest budget that doesn't have very many new programs. It continues some cost savings that he put in place for the so-called caboose budget, which is the one that will get us through the end of June. And I think it meets our core services, addresses some needs that became apparent after the Virginia Tech shooting, and some needs in our healthcare and education systems, but doesn't raise taxes, and I think it's a pretty good budget.
Then that's interesting that, you know, you have a Democrat governor and he's proposing a budget that raises no taxes. I think that's newsworthy because, you know, when you hear most folks, especially on talk radio, talking about Democrats, it's always they want to raise your spending, they want to raise taxes. But we have a Democratic governor in Virginia who proposed a budget with no new taxes.
Well, and I think, you know, the only time, the previous governor, the only reason that he looked to raise taxes because we ended up with a budget shortfall that could not be addressed and still meet our core services without raising taxes. So in Virginia, we have a history of fiscal conservatism, and we only raise taxes when it's absolutely necessary to meet the core services that the state provides and that most Virginians expect the state to provide.
Public safety, education, and transportation are the big three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, Jennifer McClellan of Richmond, 71st District, she's represents the part of the city of Richmond, most of the city of Richmond, I guess, in the Virginia House of Delegates. Jen, there's the governor's been getting a lot of criticism over the past couple of days for proposing to tap into the rainy day fund. What is the rainy day fund, and why the criticism, and is it merited?
The Rainy Day Fund is a fund that was put in place to handle a shortfall. The budgets are our best guess what revenue we will have for the next 2 years, and sometimes we are right, and sometimes we're not. Often we're not. And this year we weren't because of the slowdown in the housing market. So the Rainy Day Fund has certain triggers that once they're met, you can dip into it. It's like an emergency nest egg. And so he has proposed dipping into that nest egg to cover the shortfall through June 1st of 30th of 2008. But that would still leave over $1 billion, which is more than twice the size of the general fund when he came into office 2 years ago. So he is looking to very modestly dip into our savings account to meet this gap. And that's it. There are no rainy day fund monies proposed to be used in the 2009-2010 budget.
And I think that's an important point that bears worth repeating here, because I have heard people in the media and some of your fellow members in the House of Delegates say things that didn't sound accurate to me. They made it sound like the governor wants to get into the rainy day fund to increase spending in his new budget. He's not proposing to access the rainy day fund for anything in the new budget.
Well, I think their press release was written before they read the budget.
Well, that would explain it. But just to repeat that, he wants to use the rainy day fund to cover a shortfall between now and June.
Right.
And then the new budget would start in June of 2008 and run through June 30th of 2010.
Right.
And there are no new taxes in that, and there's no rainy day fund spending in that budget.
Absolutely. Correct.
What about the things that he does want to spend money on in this budget? Some things about mental health and pre-K education. Your thoughts on that?
Sure. I think a lot of these are necessary. I mean, if anything good can come out of what happened at Virginia Tech, it really showed some glaring inadequacies in our mental health system. Everything from funding our community services boards to how the civil commitment process works. And so most of his, part of his budget is meant to address that shortfall or those inadequacies. And I don't think anybody can dispute that it's needed. He also has several proposals to expand health care to our uninsured working Virginians. I think he announced that 70% of Virginians who are uninsured today either work or live in a household where someone works, but their employer cannot afford to give them health care insurance. And so he is putting in a pilot program to help expand health care coverage to those workers. Another new program, obviously, expanded program is pre-K. He wants to expand the children eligible for our current pre-K program from those who receive or are eligible for free lunch to those who are eligible for free and reduced lunch. And these are our at-risk youth. And studies have shown that the earlier you can get to these kids and educate them and provide a high-quality education, the less you have to spend on remediation later down the road.
We're talking with Delegate Jennifer McClellan of Richmond. And, Jen, that is the big argument for pre-K is let's spend money on the front end so we don't have to spend money on the back end.
Spend more money on the back end.
More money on the back end, mm-hmm. Because if you can get these kids, these at-risk kids in school quicker, they're much less likely to get in trouble later when they're teenagers or older.
Mm-hmm. Or even in third grade. I mean, it's mostly the earlier you can get them in and starting to read, the less you have to worry about bringing students up to the reading level they're supposed to be at.
And the less likely you're going to have a kid that might fall behind.
Or drop out.
Or drop out and get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And this really is across the board. These studies show this. I mean, this isn't, you know, governor paid for somebody to do a study to back up some spending he wants to do. This is common knowledge for folks who work in and study this field.
That's right.
What do you think the chances are that that'll get through the assembly this year?
I don't know. I think it helps now that the Senate has switched over to the Democrats. This is a much more modest proposal than what I think he wanted to do. We'll see. I think it has probably a 50-50 chance.
That's not a 50-50. It could be anybody's game. What about the mental health spending? We've heard from both sides of the aisle since Virginia Tech that Virginia should be doing more in the area of mental health.
And he has looked to do a number of things by increasing the number of community service board case managers. These are, you know, a lot of our mental health system has gone from institutionalized care to community-based care because most people feel that community-based care is more effective. But it's not more effective if you don't have enough community-based case managers, clinicians, and therapists. So he's looking to expand the infrastructure to provide that outpatient care. And he's also looking to help. A lot of times with the civil commitment process that we have, someone may be detained for 48 hours to determine whether or not they need to be committed or some sort of court order treatment. And a lot of times there aren't professionals available to evaluate or provide that treatment. And so they stay detained longer than they probably need to. And so he's looking to help alleviate some of the stress on that system.
So one thing you had said earlier that I found interesting is he wants to see more money go into creating more frontline positions in mental health, folks out in the community working with people with mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. He's not looking to increase the number of bureaucrats in Richmond.
Right.
Interesting.
That's right.
What do you know about, we were talking about this yesterday, we see a lot of legislation now in the wake of Virginia Tech dealing with mental health. Would we perhaps see anything to do with guns?
I think you will. One thing I know you'll see, and I think the governor came out in support of this earlier this month, was to close the gun show loophole. And what that is right now to buy a gun from a store, you have to have a background check. That you don't have to have a background check if you buy it at a gun show. And
because they treat that just as if you're selling a gun to your cousin or your brother.
Right. So I think you're going to see there have been efforts in the past. I think you're going to see that that legislation. And then right after Virginia Tech, you know, there was a loophole that allowed Cho to get a gun because even though he had been ordered mental health treatment, that didn't make it into the system, into the database. And so there was no flag that perhaps he should not have a gun. Now, the governor fixed that with an executive order, but you will probably see legislation to fix that in the code so that you don't have to keep having a governor issue an executive order.
My guest is Jennifer McClellan of Richmond, the 71st District, member of the Virginia House of Delegates, recently reelected for a second term. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And I think you were, I interrupted you. You want to finish that thought?
I was just going to say, you might see some legislation to clarify whether colleges and universities can regulate the possession or use of firearms on their campuses. That was something that was brought up in the Virginia Tech panel review.
That there might be some confusion about who controls the use of concealed weapons on college campuses in Virginia, and maybe the Virginia General Assembly needs to just clarify it.
Maybe.
Interesting. Any legislation that you are bringing to the table in January?
I have a number of things I'm still looking to do. One that I know I'm going to do is a carryover from last year, a sprinkler bill. Right now, high-rise residential buildings that were built after 1975 have to have a sprinkler system. But I'm introducing legislation that would require all high-rise residential buildings to have that sprinkler system. This was a result of, there was a fire here in Richmond at Imperial Plaza, a senior facility that resulted in some deaths where they didn't have a sprinkler system.
Gosh, you know, you just assume, I don't know why, maybe it's because I was only, you know, just born in 66, but I just assume that every high-rise has an automatic sprinkler system, and if there's a fire, you know, the sprinklers will go off, but I guess the old buildings don't have them.
No, and this was referred to the Housing Commission last year. They did a survey, and they think that there are about, not very many, maybe a couple hundred buildings that we're talking about, because it's only residential.
So this would just be for residential buildings?
Right.
Right. But that's a legislation that could save lives.
Yep.
The question, of course, will be the cost to the folks who actually own the buildings.
Well, and what the Housing Commission recommended was a tax credit so that when these buildings are being retrofitted, the owners can get a tax credit for that, and they also recommend a 10-year implementation period. And a lot of these buildings, if they haven't already been renovated, probably would be scheduled to be renovated in that 10-year plan or span anyway, so that ought to help.
Jennifer McClellan of Richmond, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Good luck in 08 with the new session, and hope you have a very, very happy and joyous Christmas and a wonderful New Year's. Enjoy your trip to warmer climes to celebrate New Year's, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Thanks. Take care, Jen.
Bye-bye.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SeavillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.